Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and joining me once again is Shay Dixon. Shay, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was enjoyable. Spent time with family, ate, watched a lot of football.
I saw the mac and cheese.
It was good.
It looked excellent.
That's the hit of Thanksgiving for me. It only makes some great homemade mac and cheese. Yes, very good time. Good time.
Yeah. The Egg Bowl was on last night. It wasn't a pretty watch. Yeah, it was not a pretty game at all. 17-7, Ole Miss wins. Watched some NFL, and yeah,
those were all blowouts.
Yeah, that had a good time. Had a good time. But here we have LSU versus Texas A&M Saturday morning, I guess, 11 a.m. kickoff in Tiger Stadium. This is we talked about. I thought we did a great job on the Mailbag podcast laying out, what's all at stake and how important this game is, and what you can win in this game, what you can lose in that game. In this game, we'll talk about all that as well. But I guess we start with: are there any injuries to report here? Logan Diggs should be playing. What else? Mekhi Wingo still out. J.K. Johnson's still out.
Yeah, and I don't expect Deuce Chestnut or Denver Harris to be out there. No. So I think we're status quo minus Logan Diggs, starting running back, who could well be back for this game. So
I guess the question is, Andre Sam, was there an update on Andre Sam that I missed?
I didn't see. And I think that he said he might have been trendy, or I can get you an answer there, because yeah, Andre got hurt in that game and he never came back in.
Yeah.
I
don't think BK included him on the injury report or anything like that. Not that that is the gospel, but yeah, that's,
well, they don't play, like, if they don't have Andre Sam at safety, who are they playing?
Jordan Allen,
as you came out last time. Previously, we've seen Ryan Yates. So yeah, you're dealing with a bit of inexperience, I guess, either way. With those two, Andre Sam's the most experienced guy you've got in the defensive backfield. But I do know, here you go, earlier in the week, he said that Andre Sam, Logan Diggs, and Whit Weeks should all be available.
Awesome. Yeah. Whit Weeks is probably the biggest name there, because everybody wants to see him and see him get back on the field after what Brian Kelly said was a foot injury, a gash in his foot of some sort. So, he should be back and ready to go. But yeah, those are the injuries. I do want to throw it to start this off, throw it to you, because I think you laid out well in stories and the podcast and stuff, just kind of obviously what a win would do, but then also what a loss would do. So kind of how important is this game for LSU?
I continue to make the case that I think it's one of the most, if not the most important game of Brian Kelly's 2 years here. And because if you win this game, you have a potential Heisman winner. You're in the race for a Biletnikoff, with Malik Nabers being the best receiver in the country. Two pretty, key pieces of hardware. And you could throw in all the others. Look, there's a lot of quarterback awards that Jaden Daniels could win, from the Manning to Davey O'Brien. I mean, Joe Burrow stacked up the Heisman and everything else. If Jaden has a huge game on Saturday, we'll see what Bo Nix does on Friday night against Oregon State. And then obviously Bo Nix will have another week next week, most likely to play another game. We'll see. And Jaden Daniels does not. We'll see how that affects everything. But I guess my point has been that you win this game, it puts you on path to get to 10 wins again in back-to-back seasons. And you're coming off 500 seasons, your first losing season since 1999, 1 year prior to Brian Kelly arriving. The trajectory of the program would be going in the right way. If you're now at back-to-back 10-win seasons, you've had the number one offense, you might have a Heisman winner, all these things. Matty B, if you lose this game, you're at 8-4. You've essentially wasted, even more so, the best offense in school history, one of them, right up there with the 2019, because you couldn't play defense. And if they lost this game, it's probably because they didn't play very good defense. And I know that A&M's defense, will dive into it, is very, very good. Arguably the best defense LSU will face this year. But LSU's offense is really, really clicking. It's not like this is week one. They know what to do. They're in a groove. They can score points. It's a matter of stopping A&M's offense. And if you lose this game, Jaden probably doesn't win the Heisman. you're not stacking up postseason awards, and you've now don't have a chance at 10 wins. So in reality, you're going backwards from year one, even though you went into the portal and were supposed to have an even better team this year, and the defense really kind of crumbled on you. So despite the defense's struggles, I think a win here would mean so much for recruiting because, again, and I'll wrap up by saying, you're 14 right now. You win, there's going to be some shuffling. You win a bowl game, you're a top 10 team at the end of the season with three losses and potentially a Heisman winner and all of that. If not, you're an 8-win team that's going to a bad bowl game that nobody's going to really be paying much attention to. You're not going to be ranked in the top 20. And you kind of fizzle out in a year where your offense should have been good. Your offense was good enough to where if your defense was not ranked in the 100s, if it was ranked in the 60s out of 133 teams, you'd be potentially looking towards Atlanta next weekend and winning an SEC championship or playing for one again. So that's not within reach. New Year's Six Bowls not within reach, but these things like a Heisman, that lasts way beyond this season. You can pitch that to quarterbacks for a long time. So They lost this game a year ago, Matty B, and that cost them a New Year's Six Bowl. It sent them to the Cheez-Its Bowl where you're playing a Purdue team where everyone opts out and you win like 60-0 because you're playing third stringers, basically. And I think that there's still value to be had in this season, but it means you have to win tomorrow.
Yeah, and I do think there is value in playing in a bowl game, a better bowl game, even if you don't make a New Year's Six Bowl, and better bowl game than what you would play in if you were 8-4. That's certainly the case. We can dive into A&M versus LSU now on the field. You can flip a coin which side of the ball you want to start on, but I think the most fascinating side is LSU's offense versus A&M's defense, because you kind of mentioned it, A&M's defense is probably the best LSU has faced this year. And I know I said that back when LSU played Auburn, probably said that when LSU played Alabama, and it hasn't really mattered. LSU has kind of rolled that, it doesn't really, it's Jaden Daniels has been able to unlock the keys and unlock everything regardless of what the defense has been doing. But I do think A&M's defense presents different problems from what Alabama and Auburn and others have done. I do look at it similar-ish to what Florida State did well in game one, where the defensive line and the front six, front seven is so daunting and so intimidating and has, stacked up so many tackles for loss and sacks that it does open the door to potentially knocking you off your schedule if you're not careful. So A&M, I wrote about all this in my three key story. You can go read about that. But A&M, I believe, number one in the country in TFLs per game, number two in the country in sacks per game. They are an elite defensive line. Go down the list, it's basically all five stars or at least top 100 type players. Walter Nolan, Shamar Turner, all those guys. And with that, I think this is an LSU offensive line that's proven itself to be stout, obviously very talented. They have lived up to all of our expectations going up into the year, and they've stayed healthy. But this is an awesome challenge for LSU's offensive line to see if they can really hold up five versus four. And then you throw in there the linebacker, Edgerrin Cooper, who has been phenomenal for A&M this year. One of the best linebackers in the country, 16 tackles for loss, seven sacks. I wrote about it. It's kind of like, A&M is kind of using him perfectly in a way that we wanted maybe LSU to use Harold Perkins. A&M's situation, I think, is just so much better with the defensive line depth they have and the overall talent they have on defense. So yeah, that's the front seven of A&M versus the front line of LSU is really where I'm looking at when I watch this game. And that's what makes it so interesting. Before I throw it over to you, a couple other stats I included. A&M is top five in the country in early down or in first down defense, and top five in third and fourth down defense. And obviously LSU is number one in the country in first down offense, and I believe first and third down offense as well. So strength for strength, it's going to be fascinating to watch.
I think one thing I'll mention here, if we're talking about defense first, is that one, Edgerrin Cooper, a Louisiana native, is obviously the man in the middle for them at linebacker. He's someone we've talked about on the recruiting pod a lot that LSU offered late and should have gotten out of Covington in high school, didn't. He'd be a phenomenal player on this team right now. He's one of the best linebackers in the country. He's got more tackles than anyone on A&M's team. He's a finalist for the Butkus, which obviously Devin White won when he was at LSU. And I do want to say, too, that Edgerrin put out the news that his girlfriend had passed away in a tragic accident this past week. So prayers are with her family and his. And I know it's going to be emotional for him, not only coming back home to Louisiana, but with that on his mind. So as a Louisiana native, even though he plays for Texas A&M, he's on thoughts and prayers with him as he gets through what's an incredibly difficult holiday week. But he's one key, I would think, for them on defense to how do you reel in Jaden Daniels and how do you stop Logan Diggs in this run game? And he'll be a big part of that. You mentioned the front seven is just so good. I also know that, and I don't know his latest status, but Josh DeBerry, he's a senior, he's one of their main guys at corner, is doubtful. It's most of Billy Lucci and all them who I trust over at Texags have said that he remains questionable this week. I don't know if Jimbo's given any sort of firm update there. But if not, it means that Tyreek Chappelle and Deuce Harmon, who have kind of been back in the lineup now with DeBerry, questionable, would have to be guarding Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, who are the two best receivers out there right now, really. I mean, Thomas leading the nation in touchdowns and Malik in receiving yards. So those two guys will have a tough task on their hand. And then I'll also say Damani Richardson and Jacoby Matthews. Jacoby Matthews is another Louisiana native. Damani Richardson was one of the best players in high school coming out. They're at safety. So even with a front seven being very good, they've got some solid players at safety. They've got some guys who can play at corner. This, I think this will be, it'll be a very good test for LSU. I do believe this is one of the best defenses they'll have faced right there with Bama.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, we'll see how it goes. I think the advantage is on the perimeter for LSU, and that's where Jaden Daniels, I expect to, they'll hit a couple big plays. They'll be explosive. The main thing is, you know, can you give him some time? He's had time pretty much all year because this offensive line has just been so good. So can the offensive line continue to win, give him time for these routes to develop down the field? And we know he can make the throws. We know they can make the catches. So maybe something a lot of people have pointed out on our board is, can LSU be efficient running the ball in this game with Logan Diggs back with traditional running backs? Because there are times where I went back and watched, was it A&M Bama? I watched a couple of games, but A&M Bama, I think it was, where Bama was able to hit a few runs where A&M got too far up the field. You know, they kind of shoot the gaps and whatnot, and you can run the ball at them. So that is something we've talked about a lot, is the balance that this team has had, LSU, especially with Logan Diggs at running back. If he comes in and they're able to run the ball, I think that would be a huge game breaker. I'm not going into it expecting them to be averaging like 5-6 yards per carry with the running backs, but you know, if they can get to 4.5-5, which is, I think against Bama they were at 4.2, somewhere around there, if they can get a little over that, that would be encouraging.
That would be massive. Look, I think that Daniels is going to do what Daniels does. He knows what's on the line. He's made it look effortless. We haven't seen anyone slow him down anytime recently except injury against Bama. That's the only thing that could, you know, bring him off the field. His final game in Tiger Stadium, his final game, really, look, we don't know what the bowl holds and how high his draft stock goes or any of that. I won't speculate now if he's a guy who plays or doesn't, but could be the last time we see Jaden in an LSU uniform. Like, he knows that. So I would expect a massive game out of him. We'll get to our preview and predictions here in a bit, but I have LSU winning, and I think a large part of it's going to be Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. All right. Let's flip it over to the side of the ball everybody loves, LSU's defense versus A&M's offense. I'm working under the assumption Max Johnson is playing. I don't know if that is – I haven't heard anything new since the Monday press conference from Elijah Robinson. I don't know if he had a recent one, but I am working under that assumption. Does it change a ton? Maybe not, but also LSU's defense, I think, you know, maybe with Whit Weeks back, that Andre Sam plays a full game. I think the corners are getting more comfortable, as we've talked about. This is a team that's going to have to stop the run. I think LSU is going to have to stop the run in order to – keep A&M down. I don't have high expectations, but you know, A&M has running back Ruben Owens, who was one of the best running backs in the country in last year's freshman, or in this freshman class. Multiple playmakers on the outside that we've talked about. And overall, I don't know, what's the expectation for LSU's defense here? Hold them under 30 and you win, probably? Like, that's, is it like similar to,
yeah,
I'm trying to think what game.
I do. I think hold them under 30 and you're winning this game. I don't expect it would take, it felt like the vibe around College Station would, it would take a lot for Max Johnson, who's been hurt, to play this game. Yeah. So Jalen Henderson, we've talked about him before on the podcast, came from Fresno State, I believe, but barely played there. And now is got what, 3-0 playing at Texas A&M, but hasn't done anything to light the world on fire. He's thrown it around some. They haven't played crazy good competition. But LSU's defense isn't that great. So how do you figure a way to beat a team like this on defense who's down to their third-string quarterback? And it looks like Moose Muhammad's going to be the go-to receiver, because the speculation all week is that A&M's best receiver is not going to make the trip or is going to sit out, and nobody's came out and denied it yet.
Well, he's also – Stewart's also – I think he's missed – well, he's only played one game. He put Abilene Christian was the only game in November he's played, and he had one catch. So he basically hasn't played in the last month. So I don't think, you know, maybe he makes a trip, maybe he doesn't, but he hasn't been a part of their rotation or hasn't been a part of their team in the last month. So yeah, it is Moose Muhammad, Anaya Smith. I forgot the name of the third receiver.
Anaya Smith.
Exactly.
Yeah, Anaya Smith. So yeah, it'll. And I mean, this is a game you mentioned Ruben Owens as well. Their offensive line's not been great this year. We talked about that. Abilene Christian sacked Jalen Henderson like 3 or 4 times. You would hope that this is a game where LSU's defensive front seven or defensive line could get some pressures and maybe bring him down and back them up behind the chains. And that makes it a bit easier on your defense. And look, they're probably going to be going with Ashton Stamps and Javian Tobiano again at corner. Sage Ryan obviously will be out there, but those guys will be rotating in, and they're getting their feet wet. And I like it. It's, as Brian Kelly said, it's not going to be pretty the whole time, but they're learning. And Brian Kelly also said, when we put them in press man, they really played well at the end of that game a week ago. So do we come out and see none of the, hey, we're 10 yards off the line of scrimmage in zone? You know, is it more, hey, we're going to press man and just go after him?
That's
the second week in a row now Billy's called while we're on the pod.
That is the question, though, because you're going against a high-quality receiver room, right? This isn't Georgia State's receivers. These aren't Auburn's receivers, you know, whoever else. This is going to be, even with Stewart out potentially, this is Moose Muhammad, this is Anaya Smith, and capable guys on the outside. So do you want to press them and maybe – you know, potentially get a one-on-one ball with, even if, you know, Henderson's not great, he can throw the ball up in the air. So that's a question. I think another question is, Henderson through two full starts has 18 rushes for 109 yards when you take away the sacks. The sacks have been killer for A&M, so, you know, you can include them, but outside of sacks, he's ran the ball 18 times for 109 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's Abilene Christian, that's Mississippi State. So not great competition. Still, if Henderson starts to get loose on a couple runs, will we see LSU spy? That's the main thing, right? That's Jalen Milroe all over again. I would assume so. I think Brian Kelly said after the game, he was like, you know, maybe we should have done a spy. I think with Whit Weeks available, you put him in position to be that spy if he is healthy. So those are the two things I'm looking for. You mentioned it. Will the cornerbacks be pressed or will they be off? And then two, will they spy Henderson if he starts running the ball around?
Well, we'll see. They have even spies have not worked all that well against Jaden this year. So it's these defensive coordinators, they say it every, or these head coaches, they say it every week in their press conferences leading up to LSU. Jaden Daniels is the best player we've seen on film this year. It's, I don't know how you contain him. It's just slowing him down. So, for me, I think defensively or offensively for A&M, will they move the ball? Will they score some points? Yeah, I do think so. But I, as you'll see in my prediction, I've got them not scoring as much as LSU. And this is a 12-point spread right now, which leads you to believe that if LSU does what they're supposed to do, then they should win by double digits.
All right. Do we have a ad read to jump to?
Yeah, we have our final game time game ad time. Read of the season right here. LSU A&M. Game time. Your ticketing app that we all use. Promo code Tigers. Get you $20 off your first order. Download the Game Time app. Sign up for it. Put in LSU. Brings you right to the A&M game. I am, as I do each week, looking at the map right now, trying to find some good deals. There are a lot of, especially if you want to be in, if you don't mind being in the end zone or corner of the end zone, a lot of tickets for under $100. I mean, I'm seeing some for $39.50 in the lower bowl right now. If you want to be on one of the sidelines, I'm seeing them for $97. So you can get into this game for well under $100. These prices will continue to drop. And if you're into the upper deck and you want to sit there right now, again, game time, they do flash deals, $26 upper deck. You can get into this game. So it is the final game of the season. No hidden fees. When you check out, it'll be what the price you expect it to be is. And it's not just college football. Look, it's the Saints. It's any sort of plays or theater you're going to. Game Time has everything on their app, concerts, obviously. So again, doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be used for just LSU. Promo code Tigers, $20 off your first order, and you can get yourself into any event you want. And that's the ticketing app we rock with. I'm going to keep rolling. It's fun when you pull up the map because stuff pops up even live. Now in the lower bowl on the sidelines, $48, kind of about midway up in the 300s. So if you don't have tickets yet, you want to see LSU play on Saturday morning, there are a lot of ways to get into this game for well under $100. So there you go. One last game in Tiger Stadium, the 99th year of Tiger Stadium. Get into the game and see it.
There you go. 11 a.m. kickoff. Get your tickets. Yes. Last chance to see Jaden Daniels and the boys in person, a Heisman Trophy winner, potentially.
Potential right. Heisman Trophy winner. He is the odds on favorite.
Speaking it,
the
into league, existence. So. Speaking it into existence here.
There you go.
All right. Game balls.
I mean,
game balls.
Can we start with offense every time? Are we not going to, we have to roll Jaden, right? I am. I'm rolling Jaden. He knows he's got to go out and win a Heisman. I'm going to pick him to be the MVP on offense.
I'm going to think for a second. Okay. Part of me wants to say Malik Nabers, which I think I'm going to. I do think the offensive line as a whole is the biggest factor in this game. You know, it's can they block them? I just think that's such an interesting matchup here. For, you know, obviously this defensive line's been offensive line's been challenged, but this is it's kind of a full circle moment, right? 2 years ago when A&M got this class, and these aren't all players from that class specifically, but when they did get this class, it was like, all right, let's see what these five stars can do. At that time, LSU hired Brian Kelly and added Will Campbell and Emory Jones. And, I mean, brought in, obviously, Dellinger was a freshman, Turner was remaking, like all brought in Miles Frazier as a transfer. This offensive line was built 2 years ago in Brian Kelly's first year. This defensive line was built, you know, in that class where they had the best class ever. It is kind of a full circle moment where in Tiger Stadium, it will decide, you know, can Jaden Daniels win the Heisman? Can A&M, you know, play a spoiler? I think there's a lot of fascinating things in that respect. So I think that's what I'm going to be watching primarily, but I'm going to go Malik Nabers. I think Malik Nabers hits a couple big plays. I do think the advantage for LSU is on the perimeter. I think he's kind of the game breaker here.
All right. I've got your quotes written out for the story when it drops. For those that miss it on the podcast, we always have the preview the preview and predictions will be up here shortly on the site on the Bengal Tiger, but we also do our MVP picks. So you're going Malik, but I like your offensive line notes there against this D-line and how you frame that. Of it being a couple of years in the making here of best on best. I think LSU's O-line is very, very good, and Texas A&M's D-line is very, very good. But I'm with you on Malik Nabers. I got to go first there. So defensively, who you rocking with?
Defensively, I'm going to go with – give me Sage Ryan. Sage Ryan, now he's a flawed, you know, he's not purely a boundary corner. He's been do it all for this team. But I think we saw enough against Georgia State. I think we saw enough in the past few games where I think he's actually starting to figure it out a bit. He is tackling pretty well. He made a couple of nice plays. I think this is a good spot for him to where he has a lot on his plate. I think he'll get thrown at a few times. Now against Georgia State, the Panthers threw at the freshman quite a bit, but maybe they throw it at Sage Ryan sometimes and he makes some plays. So give me Sage Ryan with over 1.5 either PBUs or interceptions.
Okay, that's bold. You said over, give me over 1.5 PBU or interception?
Yeah, so plays on the ball. Over 1.5 pass breakups or interceptions.
Okay. All right. Man, I want to pick someone in that front seven. I think that as much as we talk about LSU struggles at defensive back, that maybe the front seven in this game could really help set the tone. You've picked Jordan Jefferson a ton. I think that that's, or you've highlighted him at least a ton. I think that's a really good person to look at. I'm going to go maybe for the second time in 12 games. I'd have to check. I'm going to go with a non-starter. I'll go Braden Swenson. And he has started to play more than Ovia Gofu, but if he can get some pressures in passing situations on an A&M third string quarterback, or even Max Johnson, if somehow miraculously he gets healthy and plays, or is playing through whatever injury he's got, you know, having to battle, that could be key. And Harold Perkins has looked, does it all. He's going to be in coverage. He's going to be blitzing. He's an easy pick to throw out in a game like this, but I'll go a little bold. I'll give Swenson the nod. And I think Swenson has continued to push himself up the transfer portal edition kind of power rankings. And you ranked the top 10 D linemen this past week. I thought it was a great article. Even Cole Kubelik gave you a shout out for it with a like on Twitter because he said not enough people have talked about Jordan Jefferson. But I'll go past Jordan Jefferson and pick Braden Swenson here. I think that he comes up with some tackles for loss, maybe a sack, and depending on when that happens, that could be a game-swinging moment.
Yeah. Special teams, I'm going to take Jay Bramblett. I think this is for the first time in a while. He's going to have to, you know, warm up his leg, you know, get loose on the sideline and get ready to maybe make a couple punts. Not a ton. I think LSU scores enough here to where it's a good performance from the offense, but there will be times. I think it gets tight early, actually. I think this game, we'll all talk about it in a bit, but like I do think this game may be tight early on to where there's a couple stops that field position will matter. So first half, Jay Bramblett punt inside the 20. There's my prop of the game there. But yeah, Jay Bramblett with a couple key punts here. I'll take him.
I like that. I can't not go then with the other specialist. I'll go Ramos, and I've picked him plenty of times. And the LSU offense is so good quite often that they win by enough to where it doesn't matter. But if this game is tight, let's like you said, if it's tight early, well, what if it's tight in the second half? Even if it's tight early and they drive down and stall out, hitting a big kick or two would be massive. Look, A&M's had some kicking woes, and LSU hasn't had to face that this year. Ramos has been very reliable for them, especially from, you know, 40 and in, he can hit it. And I think that could be big in a game like this. I have them winning by double digits, but I still think that doesn't discount that Ramos could play a big part in that. So give me Damian Ramos, kicker, one or two big field goals that obviously can help separate you and what could be a close game, obviously.
How many field goals does Ramos have this year? Do you know off the top of your head? Because I was going to guess, and I was like...
Go for the guess. Let's see, and then I'll tell you the answer.
Oh, bro. Florida State won. I won't add them all up, but I'm just thinking off the top of my head. I mean, it can't be that many. 9?
I mean, I know the answer, so once you're comfortable with it...
Am I underselling that? I feel like this offense could only score touchdowns. I'll go... Man, they don't... I'll go 10. 10.
You have 10 on the year?
Yeah.
He's got 12. 12 for 15.
Damn.
He missed one against Bama.
Yeah.
He missed one against Missouri, and that would be one more he missed in there. So he missed one against Ole Miss.
You know what's so, crazy?
Three close games right there. They won one of them and lost two of them.
Honestly, it might be even crazy. They only have 18 punts on the year.
And he, that's crazier, yes. He's 12 for 15 on field goals made and attempted and 66 of 66 on extra points, which is kudos to him because they lost the opener a year ago because they were missing extra points. And now he's made every single one of them this year. So good job on the blocking. Good job on the execution. Good job on the kicking. He's been the wire-to-wire starter at kicker, and he's been very, very solid. So, yes, I do think that this is a game where he could have some big ones. I also like your punting stats there with Bramplett. I still think that the wildest stat on special teams is that they've only returned like three punts all season.
Yes. Yes, that is.
Until Javon Nicholas stepped up as the short up man, up back, and pushed that number to five maybe and grabbed a couple last game.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, to play 10 games and you've only returned, not that they haven't had the chance, they just fair catch everything or let it bounce. They've only returned like five all year.
It's got to be the lowest return percentage in the country. Somebody do the math on it for us, like punts received and punt returned ratio. LSU has to be near the bottom. All right. Predictions. You want to go first?
I can. I'll go first.
Let's hear it.
I went 38-27, and in the preview and predictions, LSU 38, A&M 27. In the preview and predictions, I noted that everything I talked about to start this pod, you've got an A&M team that beat you a year ago to not allow you to go to a New Year's Six Bowl. You can't lose to them again. They don't have a head coach. They're not coming with their best receiver. It's been a long year for them. You have to strike while the iron's hot right here because you are playing for all those things like a Heisman and a chance at a 10-win season and just momentum in recruiting, which would build off of that. So I've mentioned a lot of it during this game. Look, we know what it is. LSU's excellent on offense, and they're not very good on defense. I expect A&M to score. 27 points is a lot of points. So you can beat a lot of SEC teams by scoring 27.
Yep.
LSU's usually not one of them. So obviously LSU with 38 points is well below their season average. But still, against a very good defense, that would be a really great game. That's five touchdowns for the offense. I think that they can pull that off. We've seen them do it time and time and time again. So I'm with you. Maybe this is close in the first half. LSU pulls away a little bit. I'm not completely sure how it unfolds, but I think by game's end, LSU wins this one. And I've got that, golly, right around the over-under of 66, but LSU, that would not be covering currently. It is a 12-point spread. That would be an 11-point win, but you'll take it because it would be a win and get you towards a 10-win season. So for me, 38-27.
Has LSU still hit the over in every game this year?
Have to look that up. I don't think they did. I think they missed one.
I think they missed one too. But I think – I don't know if this will be my final lines play. I don't think it will be because I don't feel great about it. But
10-1, Matty B.
10-1? Okay.
I don't know the I'll game that would have been, but 10-1. Nobody else in the country is 10-1. There's some 2-9-2 teams, Memphis and Georgia Tech. And then Bam at 8-2 instead of 9-2. 8-2-1, they pushed. But beyond that, no one has come close. So LSU leads the country in hitting the over, which is at 66.
Yeah. I'm going to lean under here. I think A&M's defense is legitimately good. I do think they'll made a couple TFLs that LSU usually doesn't get to maybe put them behind the chains. Early on, I could see this going the way of Arkansas, the way that game played out a little bit, to where it was uncomfortable to start, and then Daniels figures it out. He processes things so well. He sees the field so well. I don't really have concern if they take a possession or two to get going. But with that in mind, I think there might be a couple possessions where they get in the red zone and actually don't score, and maybe Brian Kelly kicks a field goal or two, because in this game, field goals should be enough to win it for you. If Max Johnson doesn't play, I think A&M's offense is one-dimensional enough to where we've talked about it before. Georgia State, Auburn, Mississippi State, Army, that if Max Johnson is not available, I would put A&M in that category. And with that being the case, I expect LSU's defense to hold them under, 28 points. So give me LSU 34-21. I just dropped down my A&M prediction by a field goal before we said these. But yeah, 34-21 to LSU. I think that's a good outing. I do think they take a couple field goals for the first time in a couple games. And I think they get a 13-point win.
So, yeah, my 37-28 is what I said would be both not covering and not hitting the over-under of 66 by 1 point. So we're both on the under here.
Okay, we are on the under. Imagine that would be a true cherry on top for Jaden Daniels if they score 45 points and beat A&M. Like, that is legitimately – you can't argue it at that point. And I think even scoring 34 points, if he has, four touchdowns, like, which could very well happen, is still the same thing. But if they put up 40 points on this A&M defense, that is phenomenal. I can't bet on that happening, but it would be another amazing outcome for them. So we'll see. We'll see. Maybe I'm putting too much faith in the LSU defense again, but if Max Johnson doesn't play, I don't think the passing game's there for the Aggies. So we will see.
Well, we've got a bowl game, but this is our final regular season preview and prediction pod, Matty B. We've moved through the season well.
It is. Then it turns right to the portal. Right to the portal. Because right after Saturday, Shay, it's going to be across college football. Sunday, it's going to be like, what is it in the NFL? Where it's Black Monday, where all the coaches get fired right after last game. It's going to be Black Sunday, where everybody enters the portal in college football. So
good. And we'll be keeping an eye on any LSU news. So stay tuned to the Bengal Tiger. Right now, do we have the YouTube promo code up, Matty G? If we don't, we know what it is, at least. For anyone listening on YouTube right now, you can catch it or listen to the podcast. We'll give it to you. But 2 months of the Bengal Tiger for $1. And if you do the math, that carries you through signing day, through the end of the season, the bowl game, any coaching changes, all of the portal, everything that you would need to know about how busy LSU's football's offseason is about to be, including the bowl game, you would get to get for just $1. And we have been booming on the Bengal Tiger. So thank you so much to all the new subscribers. We've had so many new people join. A lot of y'all here from the YouTube channel have made your way to the website. You said you've loved it. Me and Matty B both appreciate that. Certainly Billy does it as well. But yes, 2 months for $1 right now is the promo. Matty B, do you know the promo code off the top of your head? I have it if you don't. I can find it.
No, where's the – I know. I have to get my phone.
Yeah, I can tell you real quick for those listening. Okay. But if you go to the Bengal Tiger, you're not a member yet, go sign up, click the dollar, and then you can have in there, if you have a promo code, that's where you would put it. And I believe it is – let me give it to you guys real quick. My
LSU1
Slack channel. I was sent a message of what the deal was. So – let me jump in that really quickly. Here he is, our man William Story with the deal. It's loading. My internet's terrible these days.
It's all right. I got it. Let me pull it up for all of our viewers here. Here we are. Boom.
You got it?
Yep. Can you see it on your
screen? There it is. There it is. $1 for 2 months. And look, since we love you guys and you're not listening on YouTube, do us a favor. We'll do a trade. You go to YouTube, give us a follow. I'll tell you what the promo code is, and I won't make you wait. It's LSU1, the number one. LSU, the number one. Go to the Bengal Tiger. Sign up for it. Go to subscribe. Put in the promo code LSU1. You will get 2 months for $1. That's it. No hidden fees, no nothing, just like game time. Just
no nothing.
$1 for 2 months, and that'll get you through, all the way to almost February signing day, which is usually a much smaller one than December. So This is a key stretch. Guys will be going pro. Guys will be hitting the portal. Guys will be coming out of the portal to LSU. High school recruits signing. You'll get the scoop. You'll never be behind on anything. But shout out to everyone who's been a member of the Bengal Tiger already, who's joined lately, and who rode with us all season on the Preview and Predictions pod and the Mailbag pods, which we'll keep rocking, but Previews and Predictions will turn into the Portal podcast for those wondering. So you can find us still here every week. It'll just be the Portal podcast instead.
Yes. All right. Let's wrap it up. I got to go watch some LSU women's basketball versus Niagara in the Cayman Islands. So
Angel Reese is not in the Cayman Islands.
She's not. She's not. For those of y'all who came here to get your Angel Reese news.
For those keeping track of the Angel Reese drama, she is not with the team in the Cayman Islands.
She is not. She's not. So, we'll have y'all covered there. And preview predictions will be out on our site. All that good stuff. Final lines will be out. So check everything out on the site. $2 or 2 months for $1. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already. Thank you all for joining us. We will talk to y'all later.